Turn with me to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter. We started off on this ordeal. It wasn't going to be much to it. We're going to go over at Lufkin and get there about 6 o'clock, and that afternoon we'll go home. And it kept me sedated in 2 days, and I believe they would have killed me if the Lord had let them. It wasn't far from it. And then I was crazy for a week, I think. Well, I'm always a little crazy, but I was more than usual, and things was after me in there. I told them to get the front door open. I was getting out of here. But we were blessed that people helped, and we're quite appreciative of that. My good friend Don Crum, I didn't have to call him. He come on down, and well, they come over to the hospital and stayed. I didn't hardly realize they were there, but they stayed. But he come on down and got feeding the cows and taking care of everything that needed to be done around the house. The other evening, a day or two ago, I heard this noise, and next thing I know, I looked there, and Don come by the window with a weed eater, him and his son-in-law both, cleaning the yard up a little bit and done some mowing. So everybody's been quite helpful, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Wife's been a good nurse. Still is. I don't think I've ever been so helpless in my life as I've been the last while. She has to help me get in and out of the bathtub. And then the other night I was going to sit down. I sat on a stool in there and little chair, whatever the thing is. I was going to get down in there, but she said, no, I couldn't get you up out of there if you could get out of there. So anyway, we've been slowly moved. Oh, yeah, they all trying to tell me what to do. Took a seat out of my truck. But anyway, it's been good, and it's been bad, and we're thankful for all of it. No, I just telling that the seat was getting kind of wore out, and Alan took it out and brought it down here and had it fixed.
Oh, okay.
But it looked like it was all planned, though. We'll go out there and the seat's out of my truck. But for a while, I didn't want to drive anything anyway. And this last few days got to where feeling like getting up and driving a little ways. And I come down here this morning fine, no problem. Book of Romans. Was written because there was much to be corrected among the brethren. It was in a time when there was Jew and Gentile being brought into the church, called, and they were trying to hold on to some of the old types and shadows that they had. And weren't much different than we are today. You know, we grow up today, and what we grow up with is what we try to hang on to. I don't care if it's mama's cooking or the preaching on Sunday morning. we try to hang on to some of those things, and most often we know it's not right when we examine it, but we still, because of the repetition of living all the years while you're growing up, you try to turn back to those things. As far as the church, seemed like they were always having a problem trying to turn back to the beggarly elements of the world and take it up again. And most often because they already knew that it wasn't right, but they'd want to carry on with it. And we have the same problem today in the churches, and I don't care if it's foot washing or whatever it is, you know, it's always something going on. So most often we need to be reminded ourselves that these things are immaterial to anything spiritual. This idea of putting a little something the lady on her head, I don't have a problem with it. Be all right with me, put it up there. But I don't think it does anything special either. But that's kind of where we are. He begins in the first one, said, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputation. You know, if you get a little argument going over some little old nitty something, next thing you know, it turns into something else. Something major and earth-shaking. Cause people to kind of want to lay their religion down and quit. And it is a thing that I believe has happened in churches over and over and over. Lord never lets one of his people slide all the way away. But he does sometimes let it tear things up that it might strengthen the people. But it also is written for us that we might be reminded that we ought not do anything disorderly. All things ought to be done decently and in order. We ought to listen to the preaching of the gospel. The preacher, none of us are ever always right. But I guarantee you, if you stick with him and stay with him long enough, the Lord is going to teach in what he has to say. So we need to be careful and listen. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Well, I've been kind of doing that all along. I eat everything. They've been, you know, that's kind of falsehood too. They've been telling me, oh, your cholesterol is wonderful. Come find out things is stopping up there. So I don't know. I still like a little salt on my stuff. They brought me a can of simulated salt or something, but anyway, I don't know the difference between light salt and regular salt. Verse 3 said, let him that eateth, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God, this is the important part here, for God hath received him. Now, who are we to say, you know, well, what you're doing there is not right. Although, when some would say, well, it says not to judge, and we'll get into that a little. But you must make certain judgments. We're not to judge if that man's faith is real, unless we have a real judgment that it isn't real. And it must be by his actions. and not just simply by these little trivial things. If he believes in his conscience it's all right to eat, and he is trying to do the will of the Lord, but he's just ignorant, that's another thing. And we don't all have the same knowledge, so we wait one upon the other that we might learn and all come to the same knowledge. He said, let him not, him which eateth not, judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. It's God's man. He's called him. So would we in turn then say, you not? Can we judge that? Most often, no. The man might have some far out stuff and still be a child of the Lord, but here's the whole measure of things, is it preach to him and see if he will not turn from some of the things that he's holding on to, that is just tradition, and turn to a more godly thing. Verse 4, he said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Well, it's kind of a parallel to God's man. He standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. So God in all of it is all in all. I believe Brother Bruce brought that all of the day, wasn't it? All in all. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike, that every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He must have a clear conscience about it, and be fully persuaded that this is right, the right thing to do. Well, if we're working at it in that respect, and we're seeking to know the will of the Lord in it, it will eventually be right. Lay those worldly things down. Said, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. All things are good to eat if it be eaten with thanksgiving. Whether you cut out the meat, all the restaurants, they're going to have fish on Friday. It's the same stuff. Come out of the same book. That's all right. That's good. I like fish. Then verse 7 is what I really, the crux of things to get in. But before I go there, they'll go over to Romans, the first chapter. I said Romans. I meant 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. For it very familiar verses here. And in verse 23, he said, all things are lawful for me. Going back to what he was just talking about. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And some things just, you know, don't do. Because the weaker brother sees it, and he accounts it as against him. But let no man seek his own. This is what our concern ought to be, is for the brother. But every man another's wealth. that wealth wasn't in the regional now, so seeketh man's another. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. That's what I was talking about. Your conscience needs to be clear about what you're doing. And it will be if you look into the perfect law of liberty and seek those things out that the Lord would have us to do. I said we don't all know the same thing. So what would it be to man that he would try to usurp authority over the other man in some of these things when he ought to rest at it and say, this is the Lord's man, he will teach you. And then in verse 26 he said, for the earth is the Lord's. Didn't nothing happen here that he's aware of it. Nothing happened here that he isn't completely in control. What we say, have authority. I believe I heard that this week also. Have authority. So all these things do work together to the good Lord's people. It's all stacked together. Everything has to do with something else. In verse 31, he said, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. He's getting a little closer here to the crux of the whole thing. This is where we don't want to give offense. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Well, he must be taught, first place, that he continue on in all these things that are righteous and holy and just in the eyes of God, and follow after them. Back then in the 14th chapter, verse 7, is probably the reason I come here, I thought a couple of weeks ago, how that I was so helpless. And then I remembered a poem, and then I looked that up, and there's a little misunderstanding whether it's a poem or a part of a sermon, but a man named Donnie, I believe his name is, said that no man is an island unto himself. And he wrote For Who the Bells Toll also. And I thought on these things. Man's, say, 20 years old and bulletproof. He thinks there ain't nothing that he can't do or overcome. It takes a little more wisdom to understand these things, and the older we get, we learn these things as we get older and older and older. We can do less and less. Then when you put into a position where you're absolutely useless and you don't have people around you that come and take care of you, you'll just perish in that state, I guarantee. So no man is an island unto himself, but in verse 7 he puts it like this, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. He's the Lord over all things. And I said everything is intertwined and it all touches one another. Everything is lumped together. Everything, one thing happens, another thing, it affects something else. But the Lord is always in control of those things. One dies, another's born. Men live on a long time, some of them, some don't live so long. But the Lord is moving all those parts about always. Paul was talking the other day also about how the genealogy of the Israelite people, how strange it was. But yet how positive it was. It all comes together in one, in Jesus Christ. In the book of Ecclesiastes, brother, the other day said we need to read in here. Third chapter. Get my pages unstuck here. In verse 1, we begin there. To everything, there's a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven, under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. This is some old funeral stuff here now. But it's good today also. A time to be born. And a time to die, and a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. Drop on down to verse 14. And know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, ever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it. Going back to what we was reading earlier, it's all intertwined. Everything touches one another. And no man is an island unto himself. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. So, go back to that idea, all things work together to good, don't they? To them that are called, that is. According to God's purpose. In the book of Colossians, the third chapter, In verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. Going back to the 14th chapter again, this is how the church ought to behave itself. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forbearing one another if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I say it's all intertwined. It's just one body. When it's all put together, it's just one. Everything that happens to one member happens to all. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Back in the first chapter of this same book, verse 16 said, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. It's all put together by Him. Nothing runs by itself. No man puts the other away without it being the will of God. All things consist, and He is the head of the body. If we're going to get back, Brother Bruce is all here also, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So we ought always be careful and seek out the will of the Lord so we know how to treat our brothers. Always be kind and gentle, always abounding in mercy unto the brethren.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And that's the love of God. We love Him because He first loved us. And as He is, so are we in this present world. So this is not just the intent of God, but it is the absolute working of God. We don't have to wonder if we will be so. It is declared that we will be. JT is talking about being more helpless than he's ever been in his life. I can attest to that. I was talking to him on the phone the other day, and come up like that when he was talking about the time he broke his leg riding horse, and horse slipped and fell. I think the stirrup fell on your leg, didn't it? Got between his leg and the horse and that pavement down there and broke his leg. But he wasn't nearly as helpless then as he is now, or has been now at least. Couldn't slow him down then. He was on crutches, but he went up and down the steps like he was. So, he just had to do it a little different way back then. But, I think even worse than that, probably the times, and I say times because there was more than once, that he was probably the closest to being as helpless as he is now is with the poison oak. That was an ordeal. I felt a little bit for him when he broke his leg for a while, but kind of lost that after a while. When it became obvious that it wasn't doing him too much, the worst thing about his breaking his leg was his foot itch. And he'd have us take a broom straw and stick it down in there and work it back and forth and scratch that foot. That poison oak was something that was one time in my life that I really, really felt empathy or sympathy for him. I couldn't really feel empathy for him because I never had it, but that was an ordeal. But anyway, going back to what he's saying, not saying that we ought to, again, condone those things which are taught to us or in the Bible. I mean, condone misbehavior or disobedience for those things that are taught to us in the Bible. But unless it is a sin that is out in the public and needs to be dealt with immediately, we need to have much patience, because the truth is that spirit which is from above is first pure. The spirit is pure. The flesh is not. It hasn't been fully sanctified yet, but the spirit has. The spirit is pure. It's first pure, and then it is gentle and easy to be entreated. One of the reasons I'm not real, I guess you'd say, excited or about having discussions, Bible discussions, so much as I am about the preaching of the Word. Discussions, you can get into a lot of arguments over things. But in the preaching of the Word, you have a man that is expounding the Word of God, and there's not much opportunity for argument. And not saying that the preacher's always right, but as J.T. said, if he is a called man of God, you can be sure that God will deal with that situation. But it's the same way with everybody else. God will deal with his people, but after all, it still has pleased God by the preaching of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. That's God's way of doing it. Many, many people today, in fact, most people today, they don't really think the preacher's that important. It's just a tradition. But God's way of doing it is through the preaching of the Word. Again, I refer to my old Lutheran pastor. One of the things that he taught me was again, that you, it's easier to change a doctrine than it is a tradition. And I found that to be exceptionally true over the years. But we do love one another, and we bear with one another and let God work it all out through the preaching of the Word. So those are some good words again today. So we're thankful for.